Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about a few analyst updates on Tesla, including an upgrade from a longtime Tesla bear. We've also got news from Elon Musk and a conversation he has had with South Korean government, and an interesting pricing update on BYD in China. So looking at the stock today, a nice reminder as we head into Thanksgiving that Tesla can actually go up pretty quickly too. We've been seeing a lot of the opposite lately, but Tesla finishing up 7.8% today, closing as we head into Thanksgiving at $183.20. So again, nice to see that significant outperformance with the NASDAQ up today 1%, probably influenced by a couple of the things that we're going to talk about here today, and just the beatdown that we have had in recent days over the last week. So first thing here, or I guess one other thing on the stock, we did see pretty significant volume today. So I mentioned earlier this week how we might see relatively low volume this week, as it is a holiday week. A lot of people on Wall Street traveling and things like that. But we did see 108 million shares traded today. Monday and Tuesday volume were also pretty high. So you can see compared to the last few days of last week, actually pretty significant volume this week. So it is nice to see that. Again, the markets will be closed tomorrow for Thanksgiving, and early close 3 hours early on Friday, so just about a half day of trading remaining this week. As we talked about earlier as well, we did have a few interesting economic reports coming out this morning. First one being the initial jobless claims. Those did come in a little bit higher than expectations, so that might be helping the market in terms of expectations that it may have around further interest rate increases. Kind of in contrast to that, new home sales did come in a lot higher than expectations, and pricing for new home sales also was higher than last month. So kind of interesting to see that. You'd kind of expect that to continue to decline as interest rate increases continue. Not really what we're seeing quite yet. Maybe there's a rush to get in as further interest rate increases are expected. Maybe more of a, you know, in terms of the price increases, maybe more sales are happening in those higher price bands that maybe are a little bit less affected, but kind of interesting to see that result in new home sales. And then, of course, the FOMC meeting minutes today. We'll have a couple of items to talk through here. Kind of reiterating stuff that we had seen, you know, some pivot language being included in the press release that we had talked about. Now we see the meeting minutes kind of following that same trend. So as monetary policy approached a stance that was sufficiently restrictive to achieve the committee's goals, it would become appropriate to slow the pace of increases in the target range in the federal funds rate. A substantial majority of participants judged that a slowing in the pace of increase would likely soon be appropriate. A slower pace in these circumstances would allow the committee to assess progress toward its goals of maximum employment and price stability. So again, kind of reiterating stuff that we had heard them say in the release, but the news there, the major point being that a substantial majority is now saying that a slower pace of increase likely soon be appropriate. So as Fed Chairman Powell said in the Q&A after, it's less about how quickly we're raising and more about how high we eventually raise to, and then how long that persists from this point in time, you know, with where the Fed is at right now. They also did say, a little bit contrasting, that the level to which the Fed, which the committee ultimately raised the target range, and the evolution of the policy stance thereafter had become more important considerations. So, just reiterating, you know, that point in the minutes as well. So I think that's having a little bit of a positive reaction in the market today, as, you know, that continues to make it look more and more likely that we start to see slower rate increases from where we had been in November, the continuation of the 75 basis point increases. All right, getting into the Tesla news. So a nice upgrade here from Citi today. They have, as long as I can remember, been bearish on Tesla stock. They have now upgraded their rating from sell to neutral, which, as we have talked about before, those rating upgrades tend to mean a little bit more, especially when you've got, you know, a big bank like Citi, where sometimes the financial advisors that work under the bank can't necessarily recommend to clients any stocks that have sell ratings on them by the analyst at that bank. We've talked about this before with Bank of America. So if that is the case for Citi, then moving from sell to neutral actually has a pretty big effect on what their financial advisors can recommend, and therefore that can, you know, trickle down a little bit through the stock as well, as it opens up a greater pool of investors. So the Citi key points here, they say that with multiples contracting to about 30 times 2023 estimated earnings per share, we feel that some of the prior baked-in expectations that we didn't agree with are out of the stock. So pretty interesting when you've got an analyst that has historically been so bearish starting to say, hey, the valuation is starting to look a little bit cheap. That should be an eyebrow raiser for sure. Second point, they say, though our latest model update leads us to reduce near-term EPS estimates, we still find ourselves slightly above consensus for Q4 through 2024 estimated earnings per share. So again, we're talking about a historically bearish analyst here that is now finding themselves interestingly above consensus. And then finally, they say, to be sure, macro/competitive concerns are likely to remain an overhang with capacity rising. But as we've previously written, in a hard landing scenario, Tesla's long-term competitive position likely also improves and potentially further enhanced by the Inflation Reduction Act. To that, our most updated price target, $176 versus $141 previously, ascribes a modestly higher multiple to reflect these advantages. So Citi is just like hitting all the great points here, talking about how, you know, if there are macroeconomic challenges, Tesla's position right now should allow them to maintain a leadership position in that type of environment. And as that puts competitive pressure on everyone, it's going to be more difficult for competitors to deal with that, and that could actually improve Tesla's relative positioning. So although it might be a little bit painful to go through for everybody during that period of time, which, you know, we're kind of seeing in the markets to some extent right now, long-term that might help Tesla even more. We also got an update from Morgan Stanley here. They are still recommending Tesla. So picked out a piece of the note here. Why do we still recommend Tesla? Tesla is the only name we cover that generates a profit before incentives on the sale of electric vehicles. Tesla is the only self-funding pure-play electric vehicle name we cover and has achieved a unique position to secure supply of the necessary battery metals and related upstream supply necessary to produce EVs at a multi-million unit scale. In a slowing economic environment, we believe Tesla's gap to competition can potentially widen, particularly as EV prices pivot from inflationary to deflationary. With respect to the Inflation Reduction Act, we believe Tesla is by far the best positioned OEM in terms of potential eligibility for the consumer tax credits up to $7,500 per unit, and for Section 45X production credits up to $45 per kilowatt hour. The current price offers approximately 100% potential upside to our $330 price target, which is the highest upside to target we have seen from Tesla in over 5 years. So basically they're saying, you know, relative to our current price target, this is the biggest discount Tesla has traded at in 5 years. And if you remember Morgan Stanley's coverage of Tesla 5 years ago, they were certainly not the most bearish of coverers, probably more close, but that was around the time, you know, 5 years ago, ballpark a year or two off of that, but that was around the time that Adam Jonas had his famous $10 bear case on Tesla, which was, I believe, before both splits, which would now be, what, like less than a dollar? So anyway, interesting to see this, but also they're kind of making the same point here that Citi was making about relative competitive advantages in a more difficult economic environment and potentially that gap widening for Tesla in that sort of environment. Finally, then, on the analysts, we have an update from Wedbush. So we don't have the note here, but Wedbush's Dan Ives calling the recent action in Tesla's stock price, the drop that we have seen, overdone, blaming it, of course, on concerns around Elon's focus on Twitter and some brand deterioration possibilities. Nevertheless, they do have a $250 price target and said that, you know, again, the drop was overdone. In contrast to that a little bit, he did say that Musk must reassure investors and that the Twitter, you know, this is kind of all over the place because it's, you know, saying the drop is overdone. Musk must reassure investors, but the Twitter soap opera will not interfere with the longer term Tesla growth story. So I guess just kind of covering all angles in that regard. But I guess you could take it as a bit of a bullish update there from Wedbush as well. So you've got kind of a three pack of that. From the analyst today, probably helping out the stock a little bit as we head into the holiday. All right, next here we've got an update on Tesla's possible next factory plans. You know, we're kind of waiting in the wings here. Elon had previously said that Tesla expects by the end of the year to announce the location of their next gigafactory. We haven't really heard anything on that for a few months. Looks like, you know, at this point in time, I would have to assume that probably doesn't happen by the end of the year. But an interesting update here Elon was having a conversation via video conference with South Korean government. And according to their report, South Korea's report on that conference, Elon did say that South Korea was among its top candidate locations for a factory as it plans to continue to build in Asia for EVs. So an interesting possibility. Of course, there is a lot of Tesla supply chain that is, you know, South Korean based. Elon said that we expect to buy components worth more than $10 billion from South Korean firms in 2023 as we significantly expand supply chain cooperation with South Korean companies. So, you know, we've got companies like LG out of there. Maybe that would allow for a closer partnership like what we see with Giga Shanghai and CATL in China. They did also say that the South Korean government would be looking to reform unreasonable regulations that are currently hindering investment by global tech companies. The president also added that the government would continue its efforts to attract investment from high-tech companies to enhance the country's competitiveness. So it's interesting. I'm not putting, you know, I'm not locking in South Korea as the next location or anything like that. It sounded like this came in response to a question that was asked by the South Korean government or president. And Elon, you know, so it says in response, Elon said that he considered South Korea. So it wasn't just like Elon, you know, bringing this up and saying, hey, this is one of our main options. More just that when asked, he said, yes, this is a possibility, which obviously is a more cordial response than just flat out saying no. So it is interesting. I definitely think it's a possibility, but I think that's important context to keep in mind as well. All right, moving into China then, we've been talking a lot about this, of course. BYD has been doing really well recently in China. They're probably Tesla's main competitor for EVs there, certainly from a volume perspective. So we do have some news today on BYD. They have announced that they will be increasing prices as of January 1st for their Dynasty and Ocean series, as well as their EVs in the Denza brand by 2,000 to 6,000 RMB. It's not a huge price increase, you know, $300 up to $850. They said that this is because, and this part doesn't make sense to me, but they said this part is because China's subsidies for new energy vehicle purchases will expire, as we know, on December 31st. So usually that would be a justification for a price decrease if you have incentives expiring. I'm not really sure why that is tied in there from BYD, but apparently that was part of their rationale for the price increase. They also said that they have seen major raw materials price increases, including in batteries, in the second half of this year, which is interesting. Of course, we've heard Tesla talk throughout the year about how that has continued, but in the Q3 call, it certainly seemed like Tesla's communication was more towards it having had peaked already. Though, of course, there's all the lag that happens through the supply chain and contracts and how all those end up shaking out. So anyway, interesting to see this from BYD. Probably good news in terms of just overall expectations around demand for vehicles, electric vehicles in China, which hopefully some of that carries off onto Tesla too. And then as there are price increases from other brands, if Tesla holds their price, obviously that improves Tesla's competitive position as well. So not a huge price increase, but directionally still important to understand. All right, next here, we've just got a quick update on Tesla's software. So BGR here is reporting that Tesla is planning to bring Dolby Atmos to over 1 million vehicles, including all of their newly manufactured vehicles. They say, according to our source, Tesla has been working with major record labels for months to bring Dolby Atmos to Tesla cars. Once the software update rolls out, over 1 million Teslas that are currently on the road will support Dolby Atmos, including all newly manufactured vehicles. So, you know, I don't know. I'm sure we have a small percentage of our audience that, you know, is pretty excited about this. Personally, for me, it doesn't make a huge difference. I'm not in the audiophile category, but definitely exciting for those people that, you know, care more about these things and certainly look forward to experiencing this. But I don't think my car will probably make the cutoff here. If we look at just the last million Teslas, of course, that's just going to take us back into kind of, you know, late in 2021. So that's kind of the idea. They do say over 1 million, so we don't know exactly where that cutoff would be, but that's kind of ballpark where we should be thinking about. Next, we've got an update from Elon on FSD beta version 11. Of course, just a very small set of employees beta testing that right now. Holmar is asking if, as Elon had previously said, that is still on track to release to customer testers before Thanksgiving. I would imagine that would be a small subset as well. And Elon saying yes. So that was last night. No updates on anyone receiving that as of yet today. So, you know, we've got, I guess, before the end of day tomorrow, like 36 hours left or something like that. But hopefully we will end up seeing that somewhat soon, and good to see Elon reiterating that. All right, lastly then, we've got an update on Australia, article from The Guardian here, saying that EVs are to become cheaper in Australia after Crossbench Strike's deal with the Labour Party in Australia. They are going to move forward with plans that would add incentives up to $9,000 for EVs for businesses or $4,700 for individuals. So this plan has been in the works since July. It looks like it is now moving forward. The other change here, there's a cap on this at about $85,000, which is where the luxury car tax threshold is in Australia. And then the other change that has been made to this legislation as it moves forward is that this would phase out support for plug-in hybrids on April 1st, 2025. They did also say that the government would be prioritizing zero emission vehicles versus plug-in hybrids for government fleet procurement, which would be obviously a big win as well for EVs. So I'm not 100% clear on exactly how the EV incentives in Australia are structured right now, but obviously that would be a big bonus. It looks like right now they just have a luxury tax discount. So I think for more expensive vehicles, they save on vehicle taxes. Looks like above, you know, $72,000 is where that starts. So this does seem like it would be a pretty significant change. If it does end up getting passed, again, still needs to move forward, but kind of going one step further. I wish I knew more about the legislative process in Australia, but definitely an exciting update. So that is it for today, and that hopefully will wrap it up for the week. And we will see you guys next week. If anything crazy happens in the next 2 days, hopefully not. I'll be keeping an eye on things, and maybe we'll have an emergency episode, but hopefully that'll do it. I hope everyone has an amazing Thanksgiving for those that are celebrating, and we'll see you next week. So as always, thanks for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and sign up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you on Monday for the November 28th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.